This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Friday, June 1st, 2018. Coming up this hour,
U.S. futures and European equities gain as we near the end of a tumultuous trading week.
This as global trade tensions flare with Canada, Mexico, and the EU announcing retaliatory moves to U.S. tariffs.
In Italy, meantime, assets rally as the country's populist parties prepare to take power.
A North Korean delegation will visit President Trump at the White House today, carrying a letter from Kim Jong-un. I'm John Tucker. The story straight ahead.
I'm Rob Buschka, ahead in sports. Mets lose to the Cubs. Yankees and Orioles both lose to Mother Nature. And game one of the finals, a thriller from Golden State.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit sectorspdrs.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
U.S. futures and European equities are gaining as we near the end of a tumultuous trading week. It is 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points, Dow futures up 76, NASDAQ futures up 20, the DAX in Germany's up 0.8%, CAC in Paris up 1.1%, FTSE 100 up 0.6%, Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.1%, Hang Seng in Hong Kong up about 0.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32nds, yield 2.87%, yield on the 2-year 2.43%, NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $67.17 a barrel, COMEX gold down 0.1% on $1.20 to $13.03.50 an ounce, and the euro $1.1682, the yen 109.21. Bob.
We begin with reaction around the world to tariffs from the White House on steel and aluminum imports from Canada, Mexico, and the European Union. Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau.
These tariffs are totally unacceptable. For 150 years, Canada has been the United States' most steadfast ally.
Canada responded to the move by announcing retaliatory tariffs on about $13 billion of U.S. products, from steel to maple syrup. Meantime, President Trump issued a fresh warning to Canada on NAFTA, saying that a renegotiated agreement must be a fair deal, or there will be no deal at all.
Mexico will place retaliatory tariffs on U.S. pork. At the same time, Mexico's finance minister says the country is still at the negotiation table on NAFTA.
Whatever they do in terms of trade actions that affect trade flows today, it will be encountered by a similar weight action from Mexico. But Mexico will keep on in the negotiating table and in an open dialogue.
Shares of meat producers tumbled after word of those pork tariffs from Mexico. The country has been a key importer of pork at a time of record U.S. production.
European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker says the EU also will impose retaliatory measures and file a challenge with the World Trade Organization.
It's totally unacceptable that a country is imposing unilateral measures when it comes to world trade.
The EU has already pledged to retaliate with tariffs on $3.2 billion worth of iconic U.S. goods, such as Harley-Davidson motorcycles, Levi Strauss jeans, and bourbon.
The turmoil over trade is taking center stage at a summit initially seen as an opportunity to tout the global economic upswing. Bloomberg's Michael McKee reports from the G7 meeting of finance ministers in Whistler, Canada.
U.S. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin will get an earful from the other G7 finance ministers who don't understand why the Trump administration is attacking its allies. Mnuchin will offer the administration's argument that a strong steel industry is a precondition for national security. That's an argument the other ministers here already reject. Frictions in Whistler this weekend could foreshadow even more high drama at the G7 leaders' summit next week in Quebec. Trump is expected to attend. In Whistler, British Columbia, Michael McKee, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Thank you, Michael. At least one Federal Reserve official isn't too worried about the trade dispute. St. Louis Fed President James Bullard tells us the current level of concern may be greater than the final outcome.
The proof's in the pudding. It really comes down to what is actually agreed upon as far as trade arrangements. And I'm not sure in the end that all that much is going to change.
Still, in an exclusive interview with Bloomberg, Bullard says trade talks are creating more uncertainty in the global economy.
In Italy, the country's populist parties are set to take power, with law professor Giuseppe Conte being sworn in as prime minister later this morning. Italian bonds and stocks are rallying, but Bloomberg macro strategist Mark Cudmore says they're still concerned.
We have to see if they're going to proceed with the plan they outlined 2 weeks ago. That's what really triggered all this stress. It was when their government plan was announced, and that government plan was completely unsustainable fiscally. So if they're going to proceed with that, that will still inevitably mean euro exit. Now, it's unlikely that they'll proceed with the full plan, especially after the turmoil of the last 2 weeks. But I actually think the biggest risk at the moment is Italy.
And that's despite the gains in Italian stocks and bonds this morning. The country's benchmark equity index is currently up more than 2.5%.
In Spain, meantime, the socialist-led opposition looks likely to complete the removal of Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy. Lawmakers vote on a no-confidence motion in Parliament, and socialist leader Pedro Sanchez appears already to have the support needed to take over as premier.
In Germany, Deutsche Bank has suffered a fresh setback with a cut to its credit rating from S&P Global Ratings. S&P reduced its rating to BBB plus, the third lowest investment grade. At the same time, S&P said the lender has good capital and liquidity buffers. That has shares of Deutsche Bank rebounding from a record low. They're up more than 3%.
Here in the U.S., we await the government's monthly payroll report. Economists forecast a gain of 190,000 jobs in May. We get more from Bloomberg's Federal Reserve reporter Gina Smilek.
We do expect average hourly earnings to kind of hold steady at 2.6%. That's not a bad reading, but it's not exactly the breakout that the Federal Reserve has been hoping for. That comes right together with average weekly hours, which have been holding around 34.5. If we would see that move up without a tick up in wages, that would tell you that you might be seeing companies turning to workers, asking them to work a little bit more as the labor market tightens, which could be a good sign for wage growth down the road. Gina Smilek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And we'll have complete analysis of the jobs report with Bill Gross of Janus Henderson at 8:30 right here on Bloomberg Surveillance. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 88. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:07 on Wall Street, and the very latest now on the Korea Talks from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning.
And good morning, Bob. A North Korean delegation will visit President Trump at the White House today, carrying a letter from Kim Jong-un. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo met Thursday in New York with the top diplomat, Kim Jong-kol, considered Kim Jong-un's right-hand man, and says he still can't guarantee a U.S.-North Korea summit on June 12th.
This is a difficult challenge. Make no mistake about it. There remains a great deal of work to do.
With the arrival of the new hurricane season today, towns and cities in Florida and Texas are still waiting for hundreds of millions of dollars in promised reimbursement from the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency for last year's record destruction. In Texas, more than one-third of the expected $695 million is still outstanding. And that's a success story compared with Florida, where less than 1% of the promised $83 million in federal money has reached cities and counties. Trump administration officials are making plans to order grid operators to buy electricity from struggling coal and nuclear plants in an effort to extend their life. It's a move that would represent an unprecedented intervention into U.S. energy markets. The Energy Department would exercise emergency authority under a pair of federal laws to direct the operators to purchase electricity or electric generation capacity from at-risk facilities. This according to a memo obtained by Bloomberg News. Utah has sued OxyContin maker Purdue Pharma after talks sponsored by state attorneys general failed to yield a settlement over the company's handling of the opioid painkiller. Utah Attorney General Sean Reyes says that after months of negotiations in the so-called multi-state talks with Purdue, the negotiations were no longer effective. And are you smarter than a 14-year-old? Eighth grader Kareeth Namami from McKinney, Texas, spelled koinonia correctly Thursday to win the 2018 Scripps National Spelling Bee on ESPN.
Koinonia. K-O-I-N-O-N-I-A. Koinonia.
That is correct.
Now, the word is from Greek. It means joint participation. Global news 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg, Bob.
Don't even have that many letters in my vocabulary. Thank you very much, John. It is now 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Bob. Mets got a taste firsthand at the Cubs' balance at Citi Field, suffering a 5-1 loss, dropping them back to 500. Chicago had 11 base hits, including 7 from the first three hitters in the lineup. Ben Zobrist was 3-for-5, batting leadoff with a home run. Reliever Hansel Robles continues his struggles, yielding 2 runs in an inning. Mets skipper Mickey Callaway.
The balls that he's given up extra base hits on are just up. I thought early in the season he was down at the knees for the most part and kind of elevating when he wanted to. And, he's mixing in some good pitches down at the knees and then, missing up at times, and they're making him pay for it.
Robles' ERA is now north of 5. Series continues tonight. It's Tyler Chatwood and Zach Wheeler. Yankees and Orioles were rained out in Baltimore. Sonny Gray meets Andrew Cashner tonight from Camden Yards. Yankees are a game and a half back of the Red Sox entering play. Boston visits Houston. Good pitching matchup. Chris Sale and Garrett Cole at 8:10. On the hardwood, game one of the NBA Finals goes to Golden State, 124-114 in overtime over the Cavaliers. This game had 2 storylines. First, LeBron James had a Finals career high, 51 points in the loss, and the Cavs' J.R. Smith got a rebound with 4 seconds left in a tie game. Rather than shoot, he dribbled out the clock, sending it into overtime. James trying to stay positive.
I just try to do whatever it takes to help our team win and try to be a triple threat out on the floor offensively, being able to score a rebound and get my guys involved. So I just try to do that tonight.
LeBron had 8 rebounds and 8 assists to go along with his 51 points. And that's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Thank you, Rob Buschka. Please join us tonight for the Bloomberg Business and Sports Show. It's one of the greatest sports stories in recent memory. The expansion Vegas Golden Knights are 3 wins away from capturing the Stanley Cup. We speak to one of the hockey team's owners, Joe Maloof. That's tonight at 8 and tomorrow morning at 11 on Bloomberg Radio. And download the Apple Podcast on iTunes. S&P futures up 10 points, a third of 1%. This is Bloomberg. Daybreak brought to you by Willoughby's since 1898. New York City's boutique camera store for precision-crafted Hasselblad and Leica cameras, plus a full selection of GoPro action-adventure cameras. Willoughby's, corner of 5th Avenue and 35th Street.
The main global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day. We're watching for the May Jobs Report at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, we get a look at manufacturing from the Institute for Supply Management. And then automakers report their U.S. sales figures today. In Asia today, equity struggled for direction amid increased trade tensions and a surprise move by the Bank of Japan. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally reports from our Singapore Bureau.
Karen, the decision by the Bank of Japan to cut purchases of bonds in the 5 to 10 year zones for the first time since February caught investors off guard. And it sent the yen lower. The Nikkei 225 also closed down by 0.1% to 22,171 points, while the TOPIX gained 0.1%. Chinese stocks fell despite the historic inclusion day for 200 mainland companies into MSCI indexes, as investors instead focused on debt worries and the impact of US trade tariffs. In Hong Kong, stocks fluctuated while Samsonite shares jumped the most in 5 years as the company's CEO resigned. In Singapore, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. S&P futures up 9.5 points. Dow futures up 82. NASDAQ futures up 21. The DAX in Germany's up 0.8%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32, yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.43%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.3% or 21 cents to $67.26 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.1% or $1 to $13.0370 an ounce. The euro, $1.1690. The yen, 109.17. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. A North Korean delegation will visit President Trump at the White House today, carrying a letter from Kim Jong-un. With the arrival of the new hurricane season today, towns and cities in Florida and Texas are still waiting for hundreds of millions of dollars in promised reimbursement from FEMA for last year's record destruction. Trump administration officials are making plans to order grid operators to buy electricity from struggling coal and nuclear plants in an effort to extend their life. In Bloomberg Sports, the Warriors take Game 1 of the NBA Finals in overtime, despite LeBron James' 51 points. In baseball, the Yankees were rained out. The Mets, Nationals, and Red Sox all lose. The A's win. And Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 5:20 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Economics projects a May payroll gain of 200K, while the median estimate among economists polled by Bloomberg anticipates an increase of 190,000. With the consensus forecast for the unemployment rate to remain unchanged at 3.9%. We're joined now by Kevin Cummins, economist for NatWest Markets Securities. Good morning and welcome. Let me start with what kind of numbers you're expecting.
Yeah, well, we're forecasting that payrolls increased a little bit below consensus at 180,000 in May, and we have the unemployment rate partially reversing the 2/10 drop that we saw in April. So we have it moving back up 1/10 after the steep drop last month.
Okay, so what part of these payroll numbers are you going to be focused on the most?
Yeah, well, we'll want to see confirmation that the underlying demand in the economy remains strong. We think it is. If you look at the trend in weekly jobless claims, you have seen an improvement between the April and May payroll reports. So it does suggest that improving conditions in the job market between that period. So we're going to be watching, obviously, the markets will be watching, particularly the headline payroll gain, which even with our number for 180,000 jobs, if it were to be realized, you will probably see the 3-month and the 6-month moving average in job gains moderate relative to the earlier trend of about 200,000 jobs.
And in terms of inflation, do you think that will help move inflation numbers along?
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly more than sufficient as far as the to continue to put downward pressure on the unemployment rate going forward, that sort of job pace. So the economy only needs probably about 100,000 jobs a month to at least keep the unemployment rate steady. So if you're gaining, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 160,000 to 175,000 jobs a month, which we think kind of based on our top-down models suggests the underlying trend is likely to be, that'll keep downward pressure on the unemployment rate, and that'll keep wages continuing to push slightly higher, because obviously that's been one of the more sluggish things in the recovery so far, as we've seen a modest acceleration in wages. But there are lots of talks about how difficult companies are finding it to hire people, and the tightness in the labor market feeds into that, obviously.
It's been a tumultuous week so far. We've now got global trade tensions flaring in Canada and Mexico and the EU announcing retaliatory moves to U.S. tariffs. How concerned are you about that?
Well, it's something to certainly keep an eye on, and I think the Fed is watching that. Obviously, the developments in the Eurozone and with what's going on in Italy currently on the political situation. So that's certainly a concern. But I don't think it necessarily derails the recovery. I think the U.S. economy is in healthy shape here, but certainly all the rhetoric about a trade war is certainly something also that officials are keeping an eye on.
What if it goes beyond rhetoric, though, and it really does become a trade war?
Well, I that's not our base case, and things like the underlying fundamentals in the economy, like the consumer and this sort of labor market, certainly suggests that any sort of, you know, near-term downside risk is likely to be offset by the underlying fundamentals that we expect to see the overall economy remaining in healthy shape this year.
Okay, so stirring that all into the pot, we've got about a half minute left here. How many more rate increases this year do you see from the Fed beyond next month's?
Yeah, so beyond next month, we have two more.
Or beyond this month, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's right. Happy June. But beyond this month, we expect another two rate hikes, so we expect them to continue along this path of once per quarter. And another two in the beginning of next year before reaching neutral, and they'll probably reassess at that point. So we only have a total of four this year and two next year.
Kevin Cummins is an economist for NatWest Markets Securities. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Let's take a forward look at the markets now. S&P futures are up 11 points. That is 0.4%. Dow futures higher by 100 points. NASDAQ futures up by 25 points. 10-year Treasury prices down 5/32. The yield up to 2.8767%. This is Daybreak. Brought to you by Withum. Looking for ways to modernize your business? Join Microsoft and Withum June 13th for a free event at the Microsoft Technology Center in Times Square. Spots are limited. Sign up at digital.withum.com/transform.
Bloomberg 11, broadcasting live to New York. Bloomberg 1130, to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1, to Boston. Bloomberg 1061, to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960, to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119, and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Bob Moon. We're just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures and stocks in Europe are higher as we close out a tumultuous week that's seen political turmoil in Europe and escalating trade tensions.
And the rhetoric continues. Officials in the European Union, Canada, and Mexico are announcing measures to retaliate against U.S. tariffs. And in a statement released last night, President Trump warned Canada that any renegotiated North American free trade agreement must be a fair deal or there will be, quote, no deal at all.
In Italy, bonds are climbing for the third day. Italian stocks are also gaining after the nation's two populist parties agreed to form a government.
Less than 3 hours from now, we get the U.S. jobs report for May. Economists forecast payroll growth accelerated for a second month, rising by 190,000. Bloomberg's Vinnie Del Giudice reports.
The Fed is nudging interest rates higher, and Bloomberg Economics says today's market focus will be on the unemployment rate and wage growth. April's jobless rate dropped to 3.9%, the lowest since the year 2000, but average hourly earnings still lag, up an average of just 0.2% per month since last May. The disconnect between job growth and wage growth is puzzling. Job openings across the U.S. are running at record levels, more than 6.5 million in the latest tally. Vinnie Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thanks, Vinny. That report comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. We'll break it down live with Bill Gross of Janus Henderson.
The Bank of Japan, meantime, cut purchases of bonds for the first time since February, taking advantage of a global slide in yields.
Deutsche Bank shares are recovering some of yesterday's 7% decline. Right now, they are up more than 3%, even after the lender's credit rating was cut by S&P Global Ratings.
Here in the U.S., sources tell Bloomberg the Justice Department has opened a criminal investigation into the trading of bonds issued by Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. At issue is whether traders manipulated prices in the $550 billion corporate bond market.
And here we have this headline, crossing the Bloomberg. Now Spanish lawmakers vote to oust Mariano Rajoy, making Sanchez premier. Again, that just crossing the Bloomberg. Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up about 13 points. Dow futures up 121. NASDAQ futures up about 27. The DAX in Germany is up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.43%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.4% or 27 cents to $67.31 a barrel. And COMEX gold down about 0.1% on a dollar to $13.03.70 an ounce. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street. Let's get the latest at home and around the world now from Bloomberg's John Tucker. Good morning.
And good morning to you, Bob. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo says that after talks with North Korean envoy Kim Jong-kol, he still can't guarantee a U.S.-North Korea summit on June 12th, telling reporters and negotiators had made real progress setting conditions for a summit, saying it would be nothing short of tragic to let this opportunity go to waste.
There remains a great deal of work to do, and we made progress here as well as at the same time made progress in the other venues the conversations were taking place.
The focus shifts today to the White House, where the North Korean delegation will meet with President Trump. And following up on a headline we brought you just a moment ago, the Spanish premier, Mariano Rajoy, was defeated today, overwhelmed by the drumbeat of corruption revelations that has grown throughout his 7 years in office. The 63-year-old Rajoy was ousted by a no-confidence vote in the parliament there after the anti-establishment group Podemos and Catalan separatist groups lined up behind the socialist leader Pedro Sanchez. Sanchez is due to be sworn in as premier by King Felipe in the coming days. In a brief speech to parliament before the vote, Rajoy accepted defeat and wished his successor well. With the June 24th elections approaching in Turkey, that country's secularists are fighting to protect their way of life. Bloomberg's Karen Kuch is in Istanbul.
While the collision between secular Turkey and Islamic Turkey is nothing new, the clash between them has now morphed into one of authoritarianism versus democracy. The political battle over the next few weeks will be fought on the economy, but the looming concern for some is President Recep Tayyip Erdogan's pledge to raise a more pious generation. In Istanbul, Can Koç, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Hurricane season officially arrives today in the U.S. Cities and towns devastated by last year's storms are still waiting for federal funds, though. In Florida, less than 1% of the promised $83 million in federal money has reached cities and counties. And according to Axios, Pope Francis is hosting a private gathering scheduled for next week at the Vatican with executives of major oil producers and investment firms to talk about how companies can address climate change. Executives expected to attend include BlackRock CEO Larry Fink and the BP CEO Bob Dudley. Global News 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker. And this is Bloomberg. Bob.
Thank you, John. Now 5:35 on Wall Street. Time for your Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And good morning to you, Rob Bushko.
Good morning, Bob. The Cubs teed off at the top of the order at Citi Field, routing the Mets 5-1 in the opening game of a four-game weekend set. Ben Zobrist was 3-for-5, launching a home run and driving in a pair. Chicago had 7 of the 11 base hits from the first three hitters in the lineup. One glimmer of hope for the Mets is we've had a David Wright sighting. The third baseman played catch for the first time since 2017 and vows a return to the lineup.
It was nice to get out there today. It was nice to, you know, throw for a little bit. You know, I think every day we're going to start trying to ramp it up a little more and more and see, you know, how my shoulder and my back respond. But day one, you know, I guess we've kind of gone up a phase, but day one of baseball stuff and hopefully, you know, more days to come where things continue to go well.
Wright missed all of last year with back surgeries, also had neck problems in the past. Tonight, Zach Wheeler hosts Tyler Chatwood. Yankees and Orioles were postponed at Camden Yards. Tonight, it's Andrew Cashner entertaining Sonny Gray. New York enters the weekend a game and a half back of Boston in the East. Red Sox are in Houston. Chris Sale meets Garrett Cole at 8:10. Elsewhere, the A's beat the Rays while the Phillies took down the Dodgers. Clayton Kershaw left the game with back tightness for L.A. Game one of the NBA Finals saw the Cavs drag the Warriors to overtime before Golden State's balance took over.
Draymond with a block. Hill thought he got fouled. Bounce pass to Draymond right down the lane. Bounce pass to Thompson. Right corner three. Got it!
Warriors radio 124-114. Warriors beat the Cavs despite LeBron James scoring a career finals high 51 points. Game two is Sunday. It's game three of the Stanley Cup Finals. Series tied at one between Vegas and Washington. That's on Saturday from our nation's capital. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Bob?
Rob Bushko, thank you very much. It is now 5:37 on Wall Street. And the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now with the cover on the little-known Chinese company that saved Volvo. Also in this week's issue, how scammers are hijacking Twitter profiles to gain cryptocurrencies. Louis Katz was target of one such scam and wrote the story for Bloomberg Business Week.
People have been creating accounts with my name and photo and handles very similar to mine and offering deals that are too good to be true to my followers.
You can read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Business Week, Know What Matters and Why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now to access insights and analysis on the global stories that matter most. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street. That is time for your Tri-State Business Report and our Friday check-in with Bloomberg's Ed Corey. Good morning.
Good morning, Bob. Walmart's Jet Black Concierge shopping service has been offered by invitation in Manhattan doorman buildings for the last 8 months. It'll expand to parts of Brooklyn in the weeks ahead. For $50 a month, members can text their requests and get same-store delivery from Walmart, Jet, and other retailers like Saks and Sephora. Bridgeport, Connecticut is the latest city in the state to sell taxable municipal bonds To push out its debt payments, lawmakers last year removed a statutory limit that prevented Connecticut cities and towns from issuing debt that's due in more than 20 years or refinancing bonds to put off principal payments. Bridgestone Hose Power, a subsidiary of Bridgestone, is buying Industrial Rubber, a hydraulic and industrial hose sales and service company based in Elizabeth, New Jersey. Industrial Rubber's current workers will be offered jobs within Hose Power, which will have 44 U.S. locations and one in Mexico. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Bob?
Ed, thanks very much. Now 5:39 on Wall Street, and let's check in with our Bloomberg affiliate radio stations to find out what commuters are hearing all around the world this morning.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. The president is said to be preparing a lifeline for struggling coal and nuclear plants.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KNX in Los Angeles, we're talking about a pay raise for Disney theme park workers in California.
I'm Patrice Sikora, and for WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting hurricane season is here, but in Florida, many towns and cities are still waiting for federal aid promised after last year's storms.
I'm Marcus Carlson on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're following Britain's reaction to Donald Trump's tariffs on European steel and aluminium.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and for WBBM in Chicago, I'm reporting that truck maker Navistar anticipates market share gains as Volkswagen considers stronger links.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting slower consumer demand for automobiles may have continued in May.
Thank you all, and those are just some of the stories Bloomberg is reporting across the globe this morning. S&P futures this morning up by 14 points, that is 0.5%. Dow futures higher by 128 points. NASDAQ futures up by 28 points. And the 10-year yield at 2.8785%. This is Bloomberg. And a programming note, tune into our new weekend edition of Bloomberg Daybreak, where we set you up for the coming week on Wall Street. Listen in tomorrow at 5 a.m., again at 4 p.m., and Sunday mornings at 9.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is Jobs Day. We are watching for the May jobs report at 8:30 Wall Street time. At 10, we get a look at manufacturing from the Institute for Supply Management. Automakers release U.S. sales figures for May today, and we get a preview from Bloomberg's Jeff Bellinger.
So far this year, sales are running slightly ahead of 2017, defying predictions for a second straight annual sales decline. There was one more selling day last month than in May of 2017. That likely boosted the numbers for the month. Cox Automotive thinks about 1.6 million new cars and light trucks were sold last month. Edmunds has a similar forecast. J.D. Power and LMC Automotive predict sales will be down 1% after adjusting to account for the extra sales day. Jeff Bellinger, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, thank you, Jeff. Ahead of all this, futures are higher. S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 122, NASDAQ futures up 26, the DAX in Germany's up 1.1%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.88%, yield on the 2-year 2.43%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.2% or 13 cents to $67.17 a barrel. COMEX gold little change down 90 cents to $13.03.80 an ounce. The euro, $1.1687, the yen 109.23. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's John Tucker with more on what's going on around the world. John.
And Karen, U.S. North Korean talks over a possible summit in Singapore shift to the White House today. That's where President Trump will host a top aide to Kim Jong-un. Spanish Prime Minister Mariano Rajoy was defeated today, overwhelmed by the drumbeat of corruption revelations that has grown throughout his 7 years in office. And BlackRock CEO Larry Fink, among executives, invited to a private gathering with Pope Francis at the Vatican next week. According to Axios, they'll talk about how companies can address climate change. Bloomberg Sports, the Warriors take game one of the NBA Finals in overtime. That's despite LeBron James' 51 points. In basketball, in baseball, the Yankees were rained out. The Mets, Nationals, and Red Sox all lose. The A's win. Global news 24 hours a day. On air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm John Tucker, and this is Bloomberg.
John, thank you very much. It is now 5:49 on Wall Street, and that is time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. We're joined live now by Jennifer Ryan, Bloomberg Opinion Editor in our London Bureau. And Jennifer, good thing that we are live because we can keep this right up to date. Mariano Rajoy forced out in Spain. And right before that, Leonid Brzezinski had written about Spain's crisis being desperate, but not serious, really.
Yeah, because look at it. At first blush, it looks like Rajoy is leaving behind quite the mess because the Catalans are as determined as ever to win independence and the traditional party system is in tatters. And so Rajoy's replacement, Pedro Sanchez, is going to have trouble running the country as a prime minister for long because his coalition with the small nationalist parties is patently only a temporary anti-Rajoy one.
This surely, though, raises an existential question about the future of the European Union, yes?
Do you know what? At this had been 8 years ago or so, then yes, that would have been an absolutely fair point to make. But things really have changed. I mean, for the one hand, there isn't quite the EU, anti-EU sentiment amongst any of these parties as there is, say, in Italy. But also, the economy really has changed. I mean, there is a decent amount of growth expected, and there's been recovery on a whole lot of other fronts.
So how delicate is the political situation then?
Well, it's not as delicate as you might think, because the two parties that have risen during the European debt crisis, Ciudadanos and Podemos, once promised really dramatic shifts, like the one that's currently worrying investors in Italy. But actually, there's been a lot of pullback from that, and they're now quite a bit more mainstream. And so if you look sort of more broadly at how to read Spain's crises, it looks like something that's going to really remain in Spain. It's going to remain something that looks and feels manageable without many the knock-on effects that we would have expected.
Okay. Alex Webb writes about a tiny country that knows the future of driverless tech. What does Singapore know that the rest of us don't?
This is a really interesting proposal that Singapore has just floated for the entire autonomous vehicle industry. It set yesterday as a deadline for anyone around the world to present to it a request for information or reply to a request for information, I should say, to operate fleets of autonomous vehicles in three districts starting in 2022. It was really an interesting RFI because it was 122 pages long and asked really profound questions about the industry. For comparison, the RFI for companies to test driverless cars in Washington, D.C. is just 4 pages long.
Okay, and this is a big deal for the future of regulating driverless cars?
It is, because now with Singapore knowing basically more about driverless cars than any other entity on the planet at this point, it's going to be in the position to set the template for cities around the world as to how they should be regulated. So cities should be watching to see what rules it is that Singapore sets.
Well, thanks to Jennifer Ryan in London, and you can read more about these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion and on the Bloomberg terminal by typing OPIN. Go, Karen.
It is 5:52 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The Justice Department's conditional approval of the Bayer-Monsanto merger rests on a potentially risky bet, selling $9 billion in assets to ensure competition in future product innovation and development. Tariffs on aluminum and steel will make it more expensive to repair water and wastewater plants and their collection systems. And states will decide whether to let companies recycle some substances that until this week had been classified as hazardous. Analysts say this will open new business opportunities, but also a potential regulatory minefield.
Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
Now, in other legal news, let's look at President Trump's decision to pardon conservative commentator Dinesh D'Souza, who pled guilty to campaign finance violations in 2014. For more on this story, Bloomberg's Peter Barnes and Nathan Hager speak with Ken Doyle, senior editor of the Bloomberg Government Money and Politics Report.
Well, remind us, for those who don't recall the case, this was so-called straw donation.
Right, yeah. This one, I was stretching my memory back to this one. But D'Souza, who's a prominent conservative commentator, had a friend who was running for the Senate in New York, the U.S. Senate, and was struggling to raise money. And D'Souza decided to help this candidate by providing more money than he was allowed to under the contribution limits. And he did that by persuading an associate to take the money and then donate it in the name of the associate. That's called a straw donor. contribution. It's not actually uncommon. It's illegal, but it's not necessarily uncommon, because you often run into situations where somebody has a lot of money, they want to help out a candidate, but they're limited by the contribution limits, and they say, well, I'll just give the money to somebody else and let them give in my name. That is something that a scheme that can involve a lot of people. Somebody decides that they are uncomfortable with it or have a problem for another reason. They go to the FBI and say, or the FEC and say, this happened and it's illegal, and the person gets caught. D'Souza, my recollection is he actually pleaded guilty.
He pleaded guilty and he admitted to it.
He admitted it, and he admitted he knew it was illegal when he did it. Yeah. He knew he was breaking the law. And he was actually – I don't think he was – people have been sentenced to jail in some of these other cases.
Yeah, he got probation for it.
He got probation for it, but he continued to complain about it. He continued to have a platform where he could say, oh, this wouldn't have happened if I hadn't been critical of Obama. This was,
he said it was all political. Obama Justice Department went after him.
That's right, they wouldn't have gone after an Obama supporter. And this is something that he has continued to complain about, and Trump listened to him.
That's Ken Doyle, senior editor of the Bloomberg Government Money and Politics Report, speaking with the Bloomberg's Peter Barnes and Nathan Hager. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law, weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio. And find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. Bob.
It is now 5:56 on Wall Street. That is time for your Bloomberg ETF report, brought to you by Oppenheimer Funds. Challenge the status quo with ETFs that adapt monthly to an ever-changing world. Find out more at oppenheimerfunds.com/ETFs. And here's Bloomberg's Julie Hyman.
When you want a little safety valve in your ETF, there are ETFs with airbags. At least that's what Eric Balchunas of Bloomberg Intelligence is calling them. What is this all about? What are airbags in this case?
Right. And I get asked for ETFs to do this. And here's what it does, which is it goes long equities. And then based on some technical signals, like if the index is below its 200 moving day average for 5 days straight, it goes to 50% cash. Then if the moving day average is below where it was 5 days ago, then it goes to 100% cash. So essentially, that's the airbag. And you don't have to worry about it. It's automatic, right? So it's really built for catastrophes. In 2008, this was only down 1%. You avoided all of it. However, on smaller sell-offs, what you do is you miss rebounds. You're later to catch the rebound. So lately, it's been trailing the market by 17%. So it really should be used if you're concerned about the big one hitting, but not small volatility kind of thing.
Paying up for safety. Thanks, Eric. With the Bloomberg ETF Report, I'm Julie Hyman.
Thank you. Futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 12 points. Dow futures up 115. NASDAQ futures up 23. 10-year Treasury down 5/32. Yield 2.87%. Yield on the 2-year 2.43%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.2% or 13 cents to $66.90 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.1%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.